All right, take me out to the ball game. Sammy Panionovich in studio, WGN Radio Sports. Talk about the Cubs and the Sox as they wrap up May this weekend. You know, it's funny, at the beginning of the month or maybe somewhere in there, Cubs fans were worrying if there was trouble on the north side. What's wrong with the Cubs? They're three back, three and a half back. Today, the Chicago Cubs, after making easy work of the San Francisco Giants, are a game and a half up, first place in the NL Central as the Cardinals fade away. It's early. But, Sam, I mean, there's something to be said that there's a lot of worry and anxiety around the team that just won the World Series.
I heard the Cubs are back now. That's what I heard. I heard they're back. Last week, we had to trade everybody. This week, they're back. They go 7-2 on their homestand, get good pitching from Lester and Hendricks. I mean, you don't look for so many big-picture things with this group because they did just win the World Series. You look at the minor things. How will the pitching staff recover from a long offseason, or from a long postseason, rather, and, yeah, you know, not much rest, win a World Series? Did you really work out as hard as you should have after you drank all that champagne and beer all offseason? So there are some slings and arrows that come your way when you win a championship. But I think the three biggest questions were the rotation. They've been really good. Leadoff man, no more Schwarber.
Yeah.
Finally.
Zobrist.
Not a leadoff hitter. Never was a leadoff hitter. Never going to be a leadoff hitter. Zobrist seems like he can fill that hole. The other hole, the bullpen. You lose Chapman. Wade Davis has been really good. And Carl Edwards Jr. has been good. So the three biggest questions that I had going into the season have already been answered. I mean, let's just get to September and October, and as long as they stay healthy, they'll be there.
Do you see the Cubs making any moves? Do they need to add any players, remove any players from this mix?
Need a pitcher. Now, I don't like to play armchair GM, and I don't like to trade guys, because what I say does get in that locker room. And when you go on and say, they should trade Schwarber, and they should trade Happ, and they should trade this guy and that guy, I'm not going to say that. But eventually, you have to move some of these young position players, which they all don't have a full-time role. Some of them don't have, you know, a path to playing every day. So you can't play everybody. You can only play eight guys in the field, and they've got like 12 really good position players. Ideally, you flip one of them for a pitcher. That John Lackey in the four hole is not going to work long term. Doesn't have it anymore. He's past his prime. He's like almost 40 years old. You need to get a pitcher.
Now, are you talking like a serviceable guy that's just kind of off the shelf, or are you talking about getting an ace?
I'm talking
that?
About flipping a couple prospects in the top 10 and trying to get a Chris Archer from Tampa, a Gerrit Cole from Pittsburgh. You know who makes the most sense? Jose Quintana. He really does. He's under team control.
He's had a terrible year.
So what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He has two good starts before the break, and you're like, oh, yeah. You put a bib on, you're like, you know, you start slamming your silverware, you're ready, because you need what is out there. And right now on the market, he's on the market. He's the best starting pitcher on the market because of his ability to perform over a long period of time, and then he's also under team control through 2020.
Hmm. Okay, so the Chicago Cubs are in Los Angeles tonight against the Dodgers. The Dodgers, surprising to me, they're 28-20, eight games over 500, which is three better than the Cubs at this thing, and they're in third place in the NL West. The NL West has the Rockies at the top and the Diamondbacks in the two-hole. I mean, it's pretty amazing that the NL West is kind of running away with Major League Baseball right now.
And the Dodgers are right there in the wild card. I mean, they're in the second wild card spot. And remember, when baseball implemented that second wild card, it was to increase the parity. And when with that second wild card spot, teams that are now like 6, 7, 8, and 9 think, oh, we can get in still, right? Because there's two wild cards. Mm-hmm. Back then, there were three playoff teams, the division winners, and then the best team from the rest of the pack. Now with those two wild card teams, a lot more teams are buyers than sellers. But you're right, the NL West has been great. I mean, Arizona and Los Angeles lead the wild card in the West, and then the first place team, you talked about it, Houston. They're 32-16.
Houston,
and they did kind of what the Cubs did.
Well, Houston is in the AL West, and that's they're the
number one. Oh, right, right. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry about that.
The Rockies are the number one in the
West. Yeah, you're right.
But I do want to ask about the Astros. Remind me of last year's Cubs. There are a lot of young players, guys that even the year before, you're like, wow, look at all these guys. They may be short in arm, but they seem to be running away with the AL West, which was not necessarily in the cards. And I would say maybe running away with the AL at this point, the most wins in baseball.
They hit the crap out of the baseball. I mean, they got a bunch of guys that are hitting around 300, and they're fast. They steal a lot of bases. Their prospects are all promising. Jose Altuve is is having a down year for now. But they've got so much depth
Correa,
in that lineup.
The shortstop, yeah, Correa is awesome. The out. I mean, they got so many good players. All right, let me ask you about let's shift to the AL. Let's shift to the White Sox. The White Sox, almost the exact opposite storyline as the Cubs. The beginning of May, we're like, what a surprise! They're doing it. This could be the team. And they came down to earth on the West Coast trip, where they, besides a great showing in Seattle, have really just kind of been overmatched or undermatched, if you will.
Seattle's one of the only teams that's worse than the White Sox.
Yeah,
so
right.
I mean, you should beat Seattle. Seattle is terrible. This is what happens. You know, you get off to a good start, and you know the optimism ramps up, and people wonder, well, you know, maybe this is the year. And then again, May is the most humbling month for the second year in a row. I just hope they finish what they started. I talked about this the other day. I have this fear that the Reinsdorfs are like, well, look at AAA, Lewis Robber, Moncada, look at what you got. Maybe we keep Quintana now. And it's like, you should finish what you started.
Yeah.
And you should trade everybody that you can get anything back in return for. Because that's the way you do it. That's what he started. That's what this is. But they're so competitive in that front office. And they hate the word rebuild. They hate the word tank. Reinsdorf doesn't like to tank anything. So I just hope they do what they have to do. Trade the Quintanas and the Robertsons, the Jennings. If you could trade Melky, if you could trade Frazier. Just get them all out and get more young players, because they have a bunch of them right now.
Well, I mean, it seems more often than not, the headlines coming off the South Side is what's happening in Charlotte. Lucas Giolito throws a no-hitter over seven innings. I was confused by that. But I don't know why everyone jumped out of the dugout after the seventh inning, but I don't understand minor league baseball, I guess. And Yoan Moncada comes off the DL. Do we see any of these players? I mean, Moncada is now past that point where the year counts and whatever that Chris Bryant garbage that we know in baseball. Well, is there any chance that we see these guys come up and give them an extended shot?
You could see Moncada in July. You could see him in August. I think you do. Zach Birdie, the pitcher, their closer down in Charlotte. He throws 100 out of Louisville. He was one of their first-round picks last year. I think he's on the fast track, but there's no rush. This isn't a playoff team. I'd be surprised if they're in contention in August. Honestly, I would, because I think the goal of the franchise coming into the season was to get younger and to flip players that have good years. Flip them for younger players, like the Cubs did through from 12, 13, and 14 when they traded Paul Mahalam, and then they traded Ryan Dempster, and they traded guys like that to
Samardzija,
get younger.
Right.
Traded Samardzija and got a lot of young players in return. That's the goal here. Finish what you start. You have to.
All right, let's Sam Panionovic in studio. We're talking baseball. Let's switch to basketball. The NBA Finals are set.
Are the Bulls still playing?
They're still playing.
No? Oh?
You know, there's
Wait,
so,
what happened?
I don't know if it's just storyline and if the idea is that we want to sort of make as much drama as we possibly can for the playoffs. But right before the playoffs started, they're like, well, the Cavaliers look damaged. LeBron's, this could be the year that the Celtics knock them off. And all we see is the same thing we saw the year before and what we'll probably see for the next couple years. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors back in the NBA Finals. Is this Celtics-Lakers? What are we seeing here in terms of NBA history?
This is the trilogy. And by the way, you didn't have me on because I didn't think anybody was going to go besides these two. I mean, I told you back in December.
I know.
We could talk about the regular season and all you want. There were two or three teams that could win the whole thing. I thought it was San Antonio, Golden State, Cleveland. San Antonio ran into Golden State with four All-Stars. Cleveland has pretty much three, four All-Stars. It is two super teams. With the supervillain LeBron James, I mean, I go back and forth. Do I care who wins? Do I like either team? And it's funny because I don't know if I have the answer to that. With Golden State, you rooted for them when they hadn't won yet. Then last year they win. Or 2 years ago they win. Last year they win 73. Are they better than the Bulls? So you're like, hell no. I'm not rooting for them anymore.
Right.
And now LeBron, who has pretty much engineered every situation he's been in, since 2010, I want this coach, I want this player, I don't want him, I like him. It's just, I don't know. The league has changed. I don't know about the likability of the star teams,
well,
because they're all forced together.
Durant has been fending off, he's been defensive and criticism that, yeah, what does it say about parity? You know, you sure cherry-picked to come to the Golden State Warriors. He seems to be the poster child of the new NBA.
Well, it started with Garnett. I mean, it even happened in the 80s with the Sixers, but that was an older group that they got into their 30s and then they wanted to go win a ring. LeBron left Cleveland when he was 25. He was the chosen one, and then he's like, I've seen enough. I'm going to go to Miami. Bosh and Wade start to get old. They start to get hurt. I'm coming home, you know, and that, you know, it's just like whatever's best for him, he's going to go for. But that's the pressure we put on him initially when we called him the chosen one at 16. And then the biggest knock on him was doesn't have a ring. So then he left to go to Miami to get a ring. And then he wins a ring and we say, well, he did it this way. But it's a very interesting web.
Does the impact we're seeing in sports circles online, the discussion we see on SportsCenter and all the others is Michael Jordan versus LeBron James.
Why do we always have to compare them?
I mean, LeBron James, of course, passed Jordan in playoff scoring.
No, 33 more games, though. He played 33 more playoff games. Jordan scored at a more profound rate.
The idea, though, that if LeBron James once again can come in and knock off, I mean, really, Goliath in the Golden State Warriors, does he have what it takes to be compared to or be better than Michael
Jordan? Of course
Jordan?
He could be compared to him. Of course. I mean, he's already in the conversation. He's been to more finals. Now, granted, everybody talks about 6-0. I'm biased because I grew up with Michael Jordan. I only know Michael Jordan as a champion. You know, when I was 9 years old, he had six rings. So I only know him as a winner. So it's unfair to ask me that. But, I mean, if you look at what LeBron does in this league, I mean, there's no player ever like him. There really isn't. Like him, hate him, love him, want to fight him, whatever. You have to respect what he does. He's the best player on both sides of the floor.
Who wants to fight LeBron?
Oh, a lot of people.
Do you want to fight LeBron?
The gutters of the internet. They want to fight him here.
Yeah,
they
right.
My favorite thing is when LeBron scores 11 and then all the Jordan haters are like, oh, Mike never scored 11.
Right.
Okay, whatever. We cling to Jordan like he's some shrine.
He is.
He is.
How dare you?
How dare I?
It is fun to watch Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen has been on The Jump on ESPN.
His suits fit him yet?
Yeah, and he is.
Oh, they do?
He's becoming. I saw the other day. It's amazing. It was Pippen, Paul Pierce, and Tracy McGrady was the panel on ESPN talking about basketball.
They were
talking about Derrick Rose going to the Timberwolves. And Tom Thibodeau and whether or not that's going to happen this summer. Last thought. You think that might happen? You think Derrick Rose goes to the Timberwolves?
Tibbs respects him. I know that. It's all about the money. How much money is he willing to take? Now, Derrick, his camp, they think he's a max player. He's not a max player. He can't stay on the floor. But I do think if there's one coach that will take a chance on him, Tom Thibodeau's in the conversation because of what Derrick did when he was in Chicago. I mean, Tibbs does respect guys that fight, guys that he knows well, guys that know his system. But Derrick, unfortunately, is just a shell of his former self. I mean, you have three knee surgeries. You're just not what you used to be.
Sam Panionovich, have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Stay dry.